FM Rewind, File 88.1.
Now, have you ever taken a moment to notice how different we are as human beings? I mean, from our races to cultures, languages, and preferences. Now, this rich tapestry of difference is what makes our world a beautiful and vibrant place. But sometimes, difference is seen as unusual. It is perceived as strange or even abnormal. And often, people get mistreated simply because they are different from us. Now, tonight, we are zooming into one of those differences. We're going to talk about neurodivergence. And just to give you a little bit of background when it comes to neurodivergence, it refers to people whose brains function differently from what is considered and perceived as normal or typical. And this includes conditions like autism, ADHD, dyslexia, OCD, and others. And just like racial or cultural differences, neurodivergent people also face stereotypes. They face lack of support and sometimes exclusion from the society. So how are we changing that? What's been done to make education inclusive for all types of learners? Now, to help us answer these questions and shed some light on the growing efforts in education, we are joined by a special guest, a postgraduate student from the University of Pretoria. That is Tsiamo Motapo, who is joining us on the line. I mean, she is driven by passion for helping children with learning barriers. And she dedicates her time and effort to support not just learners, but also, you know, parents and teachers. Good evening, Tsiamo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, and thank you for having me, and good evening to the viewers as well.
No. Let's get into your passion that you have when it comes to education. What inspired you to pursue education, particularly the speciality of learning support?
What inspired me is, believe it or not, I also have a learning barrier, which is dyslexia. So in a typical world, you wouldn't think that someone who has this condition would make it to university. And also seeing at my practicals, learners face different types of barriers in classrooms. So I think the one thing that inspired me is to become that sense of hope that helps center them so that they're able to get the help they need so that they're also able to prosper academically.
Now, during the introduction, I partially gave a definition of what exactly neurodivergence is from a scientific point of view. But from an educational perspective, what is neurodivergence? I want you to paint a picture for us, especially in a classroom environment of explaining what exactly it is.
Okay, but then your explanation was pretty much relevant, but then let me just try and put it like this. You see, let me make an example with a child who has dyslexia, because that's something I'm most common with. That child in a typical environment would be, oh, she can't read, she can't write. But the underlying layer should be what is causing this? So that neurodivergence is because of her mind is functioning differently. That means that that she is unable to do something. It's a matter of being accommodated in that specific environment.
Why is it important that teachers and communities start seeing, neurodivergence not as a deficit, but as a difference in the society? Because sometimes you'd find that they get mistreated and labeled with certain words that are not appropriate.
That is true. Not every teacher knows that. Okay, the one thing I can say is most of our learners in our classrooms in South African classrooms are not diagnosed. So it is very difficult for a teacher to navigate the exact kind of help the child needs. So even in the environment, you would think that this child is having symptoms, but you wouldn't know that they actually have this condition. So the best barrier I could say is the diagnosis process, because we might think that this person is misbehaving because of 1, 2, 3, but only to find out that it is a neurodivergent and the only problem is that it has not been diagnosed. So access to being diagnosed is the one important thing.
Now, as you mentioned that not many teachers are familiar with neurodivergence, why is it important to talk about neurodivergence in the context of education?
It is very important because you get to know your child, you get to know how to understand them and also be able to accommodate them in terms of their learning journey. Because you find out a child can read, it's just that they can't read out loud. Or also you'd find out in an educational perspective where you get to do your unprepared speeches or the unprepared reading. Not every child is comfortable in that environment. So being informed or having more knowledge of what learning support is, you'd be able to know what this child needs this kind of help and this is the comfort there. Whenever they're comfortable, this is how they behave. And whenever they are put in a situation where they're not comfortable, this is how they behave. And also it is important to know that whenever you're providing the support, it should be specific and it should also be based on what the learner can do. So you'd find when a teacher doesn't know that the child has a problem and they have to read out loud, that child would fail just because of they can't read in front of people. But if ever the teacher would say, please give out a speech, the child would do decently well. So the most important thing is the teachers knowing the best traits in their children so that they're able to accommodate them well based on what they want to know and what they know, and also making sure that they prosper, because we might all be following the provided guidelines in terms of marks and allocation, but the most important thing is to make sure that the knowledge is passed and the child gets the help they need so that they're able to make it to the next grade.
Now, based on your experience in training, are we as South Africans, especially from our education system, adapting to accommodate neurodivergent learners at this point?
I would say yes, because I actually did some research before this. So I found out that the Department of Education in 2020, they are having what we call a guidance to learner support, where they have agents placed in schools. Unfortunately, we all know that it is not every school that will get the agents, but I am happy to say we are moving in the right direction.
Speaking of schools that are not yet at the direction that we are moving in, what are some of the initiatives and perhaps classroom accommodations that you would like them to implement, especially in their mainstream classrooms?
Like I said, support is specific, so it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing. But the most important thing is just make sure that you know what your learners need, take note of what the learner enjoys, and just find out what exactly you could do to accommodate them. Because it's unfortunate that accommodation is not a one-size-fits-all. It has to be tailored specifically to it.
Now, I want us to talk about the challenges that neurodivergent learners face inside the classroom. What are those challenges that you've pointed out?
Okay, in terms of a classroom setting, most of them, you would find that they're a bit silent. Their marks are they're not performing as well as you'd expect the average child to in a classroom. Some don't see well. It just depends on the specific neurodivergent the child is facing. But most commonly is not being able to see well, not being able to read, and also just being treated by the friends or other classmates.
And when it comes to societal challenges, do these learners, especially the ones that they face outside of school, you know, in their homes and communities, do you find most parents well informed about their conditions?
No, unfortunately, it is not. Because even when you are the teacher who actually would say, oh, ma'am, I've spotted 1, 2, 3 in your child, and you pull them in to say, okay, let's help each other to make sure that this child gets help. Some are in denial and would say, no, what do you mean my child has a problem? Because they seem perfectly fine to me. So it is very difficult, especially for parents to accept that their child needs a little bit more of help than the average child does.
I mean, how do we include parents, especially when in making sure that they are also informed and educated when it comes to such conditions as neurodivergence?
That is a very difficult question, but I think the most important thing would be, as learning supports learners or teachers, it is important to put ourselves out there so that we spread out the word that it is not that your child has a disability, it is just a matter of them being accommodated so that they prosper. So the most important thing is awareness. I think we should actually teach more parents about these conditions, because not every parent knows what ADHD is. Most of them, whenever you explain what a child has a problem, they immediately think, oh, no, it is critical. And they find out, oh, no, it's nothing. It's just a matter of the parent and the teacher and the community working together to make sure that the child does well.
Now, before we wrap up this interview, Tiamo, what common misconceptions about neurodivergent would you like to at least educate people about, and also change people's perspective? Because often, as I mentioned introducing this topic, that there's so much mislabeling that occurs.
I think the most important thing people should take away from this is that having a neurodivergent is not a barrier. You are able, you can achieve so much more in life, but the only thing you need to do is work on yourself. The community might not be as accepting as you think it would be, but working on yourself, it is literally the best thing. And having also a very great support structure. Because I remember when I couldn't read, my mom, believe it or not, she was the one who actually took out the time and tried to put in the extra effort to make sure that I prosper. And look at me today, I'm at a university, and no one would actually say by looking at me that I have dyslexia. But for me, it is, I would say, I want to be that sense of hope. And also, everyone else should just be nice to the world. Just be nice to everyone. And you never know what the person is going through or has to deal with on their average life. But I think the most important thing we can take away is just be kind to other people.
Amazing, Tiamo. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Voice of Vets 88.1. Finally, what message would you like to leave with our listeners, especially parents and young people who might be neurodivergent themselves?
Okay, the message I would leave to parents is that please, please, please make sure that you follow up on your child's progress, especially academically, and make sure that the teacher and you have the best relationship. Because of a child, I consider a child as a triangle, because if ever the parent and the teacher are playing their part, the triangle will also be complete with having the child as the final corner of it. And to everyone else who's having a neurodivergent, is the one thing I could say is believe in yourself. Believe in yourself that you can achieve more than you want to. You are more than the condition that you are facing, and the world is out there. There's everything you need to make sure that your learning journey becomes a great success. So just step out and make sure that you're comfortable and just take one day at a time.
Amazing. That is Tiamo Mutapo, a University of Pretoria graduate specializing in intermediate phase education and currently completing her honors in learning support. She's driven by passion for helping children with learning barriers. And she takes time to dedicate her time and effort in supporting not just learners, but also parents and teachers. For those who'd like to get hold of you, Tiamo, how can they do that?
They can get a hold of me on my email, which is tiamomotapo24, more letters, all of it, at gmail.com. And yes, that is the best way you can get a hold of me.
Amazing. Once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
FM Rewind, File 88.1.